John chapter 1. I'm going to reveal something very important to you today, and many of you probably have never heard this story, so I want you to pick up on it. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Turn over, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 19. Christ is the light of the world. That's the theme of our message today. Chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that truly cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. In Matthew 17, verse 1 and 2, Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and took Peter, James, and John with him. And they saw him transfigured before them. Verse 1 and 2 of Matthew 17 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Christ is the light of the world. Back in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Christ is the great I am. It goes all the way back to Exodus when Moses saw the burning bush and God spoke to him from the fire and said, "I am that I am." And that translates to the name Jehovah. He is the holy God, the everlasting one who fulfills all his covenants and promises. Jesus made several statements in the New Testament where he declared that he is the I am. He said, "I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me shall never die." We celebrate the birth of the Savior on December the 25th, a day set aside to remember him. Nobody really knows why that date became the date to be chosen, except for one thing that most people don't know about. And that is, in the Jewish religious people, there was a date on the 25th of Kislev. And that is the date that coincides with our month, December. It is a winter month, and they had the Feast of Dedication, which Jesus attended in John 10, and verse 22. "And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I've told you, and you didn't believe." That date for the Feast of Dedication is called also the Feast of Lights. It is the Feast of Hanukkah. From 164 BC, when Judah Maccabees and his troops of Israeli soldiers defeated the Syrians and took over Jerusalem away from them and cleansed the temple of all the sacrilege that the Syrians had done with idols and offering other things on the altar that were not allowed to the Jewish people, They built a new altar and they sought holy oil, consecrated oil from the olive. It had to be made in a certain way for their religious beliefs. It took 8 days to make this oil ready to be used in the menorah, the candelabra, the menorah, metal oil burning. And they found one little cruse of oil that would burn the menorah for one day. And they put it in and they lit it. And they believe a miracle took place. And it burned for 8 days, the entire time of the Feast of Dedication. Now, Jesus was here attending that feast in John chapter 10. Hanukkah is a word that means dedication. And the Jews dedicate themselves at this time. Now, we celebrate Christmas Day on that date. This year, the Jewish calendar and the Christian calendar will coincide. Hanukkah will be Sunday night, December the 25th, for 8 days to follow. And their celebrations, they light the candles in their windows. They light menorahs in their home. They light the big menorah in the temple. And so it is called the Festival of Lights. It celebrates the light of the world that came to save us from our sins. Each night, they light a candle until the 8th day, when all the candles have been lit or burning in the menorah. The children are taught to play with a dreidel. It's a top, but it's square. It has a letter of the Hebrew alphabet on each side of the 4 squares of the top. They are Nes, Gadol, Hapha, Shem. Those are letters representing words. And those words are, a great miracle happened there. And they celebrate that. They teach their children to read the Torah, the first 5 books of Moses. Each night they would read the scrolls. And then, in remembrance of the Syrian overtaking, they would hide the scrolls so the soldiers would not come and take them. And they would continue to do that as a game, reading the scrolls and then putting them away in a hidden place. Their parents would give them money, gifts, on the 4th and 5th night of Hanukkah. They were taught to tithe. They were taught to donate to charity. They were taught to use that money to buy candles for their menorah in their home. So it was gift giving. It was lighting. The story would be taught to them of the Maccabees who fought to free Jews from and restore Jerusalem and the temple. The Syrian dynasty of the Seleucids had taken over, offered idols, and defiled all of the things of God. Judah Maccabee was their hero, the hammer, they called him. He fought great battles. His name means, in Hebrew, who is like you, O God? After fighting outnumbered battles at Mizpah, you might remember that name was Samuel, who took the children of Israel to Mizpah and made sacrifice. They liberated Jerusalem and then cleared the temple, built a new altar, and dedicated it on the 25th day of Kislev, our December. The fires of the altar returned for the 8 days. They had a feast. It is in some ways like our Thanksgiving feast and revival meeting feast. It is to rededicate themselves unto God. During the 400 silent years from the book of Malachi to the opening of the book of Matthew, these historical events took place. 336 BC, Alexander the Great conquered the then known world and brought the education and language of the Greeks. So the world was Hellenized in taking over these things from the Greeks. In 284 BC through to 247 BC, in Alexandria, Egypt, a great library was built there called the Library of Alexandria. The people who were Jews living there took on the customs and the language. And at that time, Soter of Syria took 1,000 Jewish captives to Egypt. And they were treated well there, and so they remained. At this time, the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into the Greek language. It was called the Septuagint, which means the 70. Because Greek ruler Ptolemy Philadelphus sent letters to Jerusalem requesting 6 elders of the 12 tribes be sent to them to translate the Bible into Greek. And the Jews cooperated. 72 were sent. And so the book became known as the 70. In 72 days, they translated the first 5 books, or the Torah. Then later, the entire Old Testament. 164 BC, the Maccabean Wars under Syria domain took place, and the Maccabees freed the Jews from the Syrians, took over Jerusalem and the temple, and restored all those things. Jesus attended this feast. We use lights and games. We use trees and the Bible to celebrate the season of Christ and His birth. We use songs and hymns and food, but especially lights. Those customs have come over to the Christian celebration of Christmas, much from the celebration of Hanukkah. It is a time for us to be a witness, to give the gospel to others, to teach our children in the celebration of the seasons why we do these things and what they represent and why we give gifts one to another and how they can use those in order to be a blessing to others who have charitable needs. We give extra to missionaries for this month so they can celebrate a little more with their families. We help the needy. We've given thousands of dollars to those in the mountains with the hurricane damage up there. And to those organizations around here that help the needy with food and such as that. Each year we give $2,000 to the Fort Mill Care Center, who administers to people who come to them with needs. In America, we kind of have a bigger and better attitude about everything. If a few lights is good, let's have a lot of lights next year. And so most homes have lights that adorn the whole perimeter of the house. The windows have candles burning. We don't think about why we do that. We just think about it looks nice. By the way, this house that burned, the Brakefields, they're one of that family that always had the house with so many Christmas decorations. The children gave to their parents every year gifts of more lights and more figurines and all that sort of thing. So it had become a place where people would at least drive by, if not stopping to look at the decorations that were there. Now we go to the stable. Here's your visual. That's not too much different than what it could have looked like. The first to hear and to see the birth of Jesus was Mary and Joseph. They were in awe that God had brought them there and God had spoken to them, and they knew what was taking place, but they still could not fully appreciate it until they saw it and saw others that came to worship Him. An angel of the Lord came down and told the shepherds keeping the sheep that they could find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, which basically translates to strips of cloth, and lying in a manger. And so they went there to see him, and they celebrated and praised God and came back rejoicing for what they had seen, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who will save us from our sins. These shepherds kept the lambs that were nearest to the temple, probably for those that were used in sacrifice. They had to be a perfect lamb without spot and without blemish. And these shepherds that judged those lambs to be worthy of sacrifice came and saw the Lamb of God in the manger. Next, the angels from heaven are the next scene that we see in Bible chronology. The angels came, the heavenly host, and declared peace on earth, goodwill to men. They brought good news. They brought the glad tidings. They brought the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the good news message we have to share. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day and is alive forevermore and has the power to save all who even believe on his name. The King is born. Jesus, who will save his people. Next, we go to Matthew 2 in verse 1 and 2, and we find the wise men coming from the east, Medes or Persians, who studied the stars. They came to worship him who is born the King of the Jews. Israel was under Roman rule. Herod was the ruler who ruled over the Jewish people. He had added to their temple to make it a great thing. And he took pride in all of that, that he was the King of the Jews. He called the scribes together to search the scriptures to tell him where the King of the Jews was to be born. And they gave him Micah 5:2, which the young people have read for us today, that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And the king inquired of the wise men, at what time did you see this star in the sky? And they told him. He told them to go and worship him and come back and tell him so he could come and worship him also. But he wasn't interested in worshiping Jesus. He wanted to kill him. The wise men were warned by an angel in a dream not to return to Herod, and so they went another way. And Herod saw he was mocked, and he sent soldiers to go there. And the order was to kill all the Jewish babies that are up to 2 years of age. That is the only indication we have of the time that could have been from the time they saw the star until the time they came to the place where the babe was. The Bible tells us they went to the house where the young child was. They didn't go to the babe in the manger. Now, we put all that together in a visual of the Christmas scene as we did today, but they separated it and showed you it was different times to learn something there. Herod, a wicked man, motivated by Satan, murdered all these children. The wise men had found the babe, the young child. They had offered their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Elrene told me about frankincense being used for a treatment for arthritis, and I bought a bottle about this big with an eyedropper. It's frankincense and myrrh and 9 other essential oils. And it helps my arthritis. I use it in my office this morning before coming, and I can have a little more flexibility than I normally do and a little less pain from the arthritis. These were wealthy gifts that were laid at the feet. Joseph was warned to take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill them. The Bible fulfilled that in a prophecy from Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 1. It says, "My son is called out of Egypt." Until the death of Herod in Matthew 2:15, they waited in Egypt. But then when they learned that Herod had died, they were told to take the child and the wife and go back to their people. En route there, they learned that Herod's son, Archelaus, ruled in his stead, and he was about as wicked as his father. And so Joseph was concerned and turned aside into Galilee. In that day, Galilee was called Galilee of the Gentiles, and Nazareth was a city of poor people. They went there, and of course you know that Jesus grew up in Nazareth. When Herod had died, the angel appeared to them to return, and then he appeared to them, and they settled in Galilee, in Nazareth. So we come today and every Sunday to worship the Savior, the King, the Son of God, the Great I Am, the Light of the World. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you believe in me, you will not walk in darkness." We're called out of darkness into light to worship the Son of God. And the last scripture is in 1 John chapter 1. While I'm turning there to read that, we'll get our singer ready to sing and our pianist ready to play. And we're going to have a psalm before we go down to the gym to eat. We're early, Bob. We're going to be okay. All right. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." In a few moments, we'll go down to the gymnasium and have a meal, and we'll eat together. That's a part of the celebrations of the feasts, dedicating ourselves to the Lord and eating together in communion with one another and with our God. I wanted April to sing this song that we had in our cantata.